This is the Bloom Pod, and I'm Taylor Onion.
And I'm Melissa Lutz.
Each episode, we bring you an interview with an everyday person who is chasing big dreams. I interview the guests for the first part of the show, and then Melissa and I come together and recap some of the main points at the end.
With the occasional shenanigan.
This week's guest, or guests, I should say, are entrepreneurs. They are former Illini student athletes. One is an NFL veteran. One is a blogging, food making, cookbook writing queen. Parents, I mean, they do all the things. We are so excited. Please enjoy our conversation with Marissa and Jeff Allen. Y'all, it has been, what, 10-ish years since we last, you know, have seen each other, been around each other, that kind of thing, since our days back in Champaign. So first, I just got to ask, how are you guys? How are we doing?
Good.
Gosh, we're good.
Busy.
Right.
Body hurts.
Parents, business owners.
Right.
Retired.
So
career.
So many things in the last few years. So, and both of you have done a number of, you know, exciting things, obviously, since leaving Champaign, since the Illini days. I mean, Jeff, you've had your NFL career. Marissa, you've done some blogging and launched some exciting stuff from that standpoint. And the latest venture, of course, with the Cookie Society. So I want to talk about all these things, but let's kind of kick it off. You know, I would love to hear, Jeff, what your experience was like playing in the NFL. And then from you, Marissa, what your experience was like throughout that process.
Yeah, of course.
For me, it was a lifelong dream come true. I mean, it's something that I strive for starting at the age of 8 when I first started playing football. And that was the goal, and I got to it. As a kid, you don't realize what the process would be. But it's a long process. It's a lot of hard work. And when you get there, even when you make it, I mean, I was drafted in the second round. You have to continue to make it. You earn it every single day. You're being evaluated every day. It is one of the most competitive professions that you could be in. Just because the turnover is high, because there's a draft every year, there's free agency every year. There's so many variables. You have to play well. You can get hurt at any moment. You could be in the wrong system. There's a lot of things that have to go right. So, you know, the entire time, I enjoyed it. You know, I was able to play for 9 seasons and, you know, I was fortunate enough to get a Super Bowl ring out of it. So, you know, I'm thankful and, you know, transitioning to selling cookies, which is also stressful.
in a different way, I'm sure.
In a different way, yeah.
So it's really funny to hear him talk about his career, because the things that stand out the most to me, he didn't even mention. And so, like, going through injury, and as a former athlete, I know your mindset, like when you get hurt and you're just kind of in a dark place and you're like, oh my goodness, my season's over. And that was really, really scary. He's come home with like broken fingers. And so the whole time I'm just like worried about his well-being. I'm glad he was enjoying himself, and I'm glad he had such a long, beautiful career. And we've lived in some really cool places and met some amazing people. But I just think that's so funny that you didn't even
mention. I mean, that's a given. I mean, it's a part of it. Football is like, is the most dangerous sport you can play, I guess, in America. I don't know all the sports in the world, but it's very dangerous. It's something, it's a young man's game. So, I mean, I was 30 when I was done, and that was considered a long career, which is crazy. But I'm thankful for it. I mean, playing sports at any level, it gives you, you know, something in life. It teaches you perseverance, teaches you how to work with a team, all of those good things. So I'm thankful I was able to do it for as long as I did.
Did you have, is it a fair question to ask, was there a favorite, because you were with the Chiefs, you were with the Texans as well for a while, and then back to the Chiefs. Do you have a favorite franchise, maybe overall, or a favorite one that you've played for? Is that it? Can I ask you that?
Yeah, that's easy. I mean, it was without a doubt Kansas City. I won't go too much into it, but it was definitely Kansas City, no competition. So.
Right. The Super Bowl ring with Kansas City, I'm sure, helped a little
bit. Very special place. And that's why I was drafted. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. The only thing I knew about Kansas was like the Wizard of Oz, yellow brick roads, the country where nothing existed. Yeah. And it turned out to be one of the best places that we could ever land. And it's one of our favorite places. And we love it there still.
I was there on draft night. And I remember as soon as they said Kansas City, I had to look up like, what's in Kansas? And then I was like, oh, wait, but you're not even in Kansas. You're in Missouri.
Yeah, you're in Missouri.
Right.
Yeah.
So Oh my gosh. Just like a lot of life lived in that period of time.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So fun to hear. And so interesting to hear, you know, your different perspectives on the experience across the board for sure as well. But, so during that process, Marissa, for you, you kind of started First in Full, started doing some of the blogging and, you know, kind of these lifestyle, you know, videos, recipes, all that good stuff. So how did that come to be? What prompted you to kind of get into that space?
So before all of that, I got my degree from Illinois, in marketing, and I really wanted to go work in marketing or advertising, but there weren't a ton of marketing and advertising in Missouri, let alone ones that were hiring. And so I was like, you know, really sad about that. I remember like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because it wasn't an option necessarily to leave Jeff in Kansas City. Their schedules are rough to kind of squeeze in. And if I wasn't there, we probably wouldn't really get to see each other. And so that's when I kind of started the lifestyle blog. I started First in Full and I started documenting our wedding process. And then just life, I guess, kind of following his career and like feeding the guys and stuff. And it really took off. But man, it really was, I don't remember what started. He got me a camera for my birthday. And so I just was taking pictures of everything. We didn't have kids at the time. He was tired of me taking pictures of him. And so I started taking pictures of food and sharing it. And this was before all of those wife shows. So like wife, like talking to my grandmother and my parents and my friends, like, what's it like? And I was like, he's not home ever. And so I would just kind of entertain myself. I started going to the market. I started cooking. And it really just, I just kind of leaned into my passion and it definitely led us to where we are now with cookies, I would say.
Yeah, I was a beneficiary of just recipe development, a lot of good food.
And, right.
And maintaining the cookies.
You and your friends.
A lot of good things came out of her blogging about food.
Right.
Especially me gaining a little bit of weight.
So you kind of had a built-in panel of judges there with the guys if they're trying out the food and recipes that you're making.
I mean, they've tried it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly, but they're always nice about it.
Was there a post or a recipe or, you know, a blog or something that kind of kicked off, you know, from going from just kind of small stuff that you were doing to now? I mean, you've got what, 25,000 followers on that page, something like that, something crazy. I was seeing.
Yeah. It definitely, I remember that things just kind of took off. And so one, I did a post about how much food, like literally how many pounds of meat it takes to feed the guys. And I guess no one had ever really broken it down like that. And so that took on a lot. I remember doing a post from my point of view, when Jeff tore his bicep. The kind of the people who were worried about him, I guess. And then there was another one. Oh, and then I started doing Whole 30 things because like you said, we gained some weight and we actually were not even to lose weight, but just to have better habits. And so I found this book about Whole 30 and it really changed our life as well. Because I've been publishing a few cookbooks like under the Whole 30 brand and that was pretty cool too. So
nice. I actually didn't even know that. That's awesome. Yeah. Super cool. Do you, Jeff, from your perspective, do you have a favorite recipe that she has cooked?
Well, that's tough. I mean, there's a ton of them. I would probably go with her. She has like this honey Italian wings that she makes. The vegetable could vary. It could be any green vegetable with it and a baked potato. Like it's really simple, but really good.
Gosh, we might have to include the recipe for that in the show notes for this episode. That's awesome. So you mentioned that First in Full kind of led you into what you're doing now. So walk me through how the heck we got to the Cookie Society, how you went from Whole 30 stuff to now this brick and mortar business, right?
Oh, selling man. Cookies. I was doing Whole 30 and Whole 30 isn't necessarily about losing weight or completely eradicating things from your diet. It's about figuring out what's worth it. And so this whole time, I'm working on cookie recipes and I'm grateful that I did Whole 30 before that because ones that weren't worth it, we didn't even eat them. And I was like, it's gotta be worth it for me to eat this cookie. Like we've got to make something really, really good. Mm-hmm. And, we've probably tried thousands of cookies just to get it down to where we are now. And the brick and mortar came after really, that's probably like our sports background. It was like, okay, are we going to do this? Like, we got to have some faith in ourselves. Like, we got to go for it. And people were asking for cookies. People wanted cookies and they wanted them locally. But at the time I was only shipping. And so, you know, Jeff and I talked, and at the time he was still playing, but like, go for it. Probably more so than I was in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just a natural transition. I mean, we started, it was just for fun, it was something that she loved to do. It was a challenge at first, actually. We were in New York. We tasted a cookie, this place called Avane, and it was like one of the best things I ever had at the time. And I told her she couldn't do anything like it, because I know she's competitive like me, you know, being a former athlete, that she was going to go try to do it. Reverse psychology worked. Right. She went home and she figured out how to make the best cookie in the world. Started with a chocolate chip, then a banana pudding. Started taking to the locker room. My teammates loved it. And I said, hey, you should probably, you know, start a business out of this. And she didn't really want to do that. Then one of my teammates asked, could he buy some? That's when we started to brainstorm ideas, figure out a name, colors, logo, all that type of stuff business-wise. And we started farmers markets, pop-ups, ton of like just giving away free stuff to anybody we could give it to. And we're like, okay, you know, we got a little clientele. We have some corporate clients. Yeah. Well, let's go for it. Let's see if we can scale this thing out.
Talk about faith.
Yeah. the entire time we just were guessing, to be honest with you. We're like, I think this is the time. But you know, I mean, we felt it. We went into the brick and mortar with the idea of we'd be able to produce more cookies and get more corporate clients. You know, it'd be great if customers come and see us, but you know, we weren't dependent upon that. So but when we opened the doors, well, we didn't even open the doors because it was COVID when we opened. So we were doing curbside, and when we were finally open, it was busy from day one.
Yeah.
And we're super, super thankful for that.
Right. I saw that y'all have mixed in some cinnamon rolls to the lineup as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the benefit of kind of owning your own place. Cinnamon rolls are definitely a family thing, and that's something my Nana taught me to do. And I remember sitting down with her like, Nana, I'm going to write down the recipe so I can make the cinnamon rolls. And she didn't have not one measurement. So I kind of had to reverse engineer, and she went by feel off of everything. So it took me a while. But once I got it down, I was like, I want other people to like have this piece of my family. And so when we first opened, I think I had them every weekend or every other weekend. Like, yeah, I offered it a lot more frequently, but no one was buying them. My feelings were hurt. I was just giving them to the team. And then Jeff, who runs our social, put it up one day and it just all of a sudden took off. And he calls me and I'm at the kitchen. It's late. And he's like, hey, Riz, how many cinnamon rolls did you make? And I was like, I don't know, like the usual amount. He's like, you should make some more. How many people had seen that?
It was like the engagement on it. It was like 60,000 people saw it. It was like crazy.
Oh my gosh.
No, yeah,
it was like insane. Out of nowhere. And there was a line outside the door. So we open at noon on Sundays, and at like 11:30, there was a line that almost like hit the end of the building. And I remember panicking. It's like, oh my gosh. And those first few ones weren't even my best batch, but people just kept coming. It became kind of an event, became a thing. And like, oh, let's go do this. Let's just go stand in line. What else do we have to do? Especially during the pandemic. And man, we've just got some trusty customers who have kept coming out every third Sunday, mark calendars. So it's been cool.
That's awesome. So building up a little bit of excitement between the cinnamon roll batches. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So y'all launched during COVID, which I'm sure, you know, first time business owners during a global pandemic, no easy task. I'm sure that came with its own challenges.
Yeah,
definitely.
You don't know how hard it's going to be though, because we had never done it before. So we had that,
right?
Is we just thought this was part of it, and we just kind of went with the flow. And we were very flexible in the beginning. I would say that was our greatest strength to get through COVID, or to have made it thus far, was to be flexible. So we figured out, we opened our store with curbside exclusively. And at the time, a lot of places hadn't even figured out how to do like curbside or any sort of pre-ordering system. That was the big thing. What else would you say?
Yeah, just having customers that trusted us.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't know how to handle the situation, no one did at the time.
Right.
So it was a lot of patience. It was a lot of adapting and adjusting on our part, implementing things like curbside, text to order, contactless, delivery, all types of things that we didn't even think about when we first decided to go into retail. We just thought we were going to open the doors and customers could come in, Right. But then we ended up having to put up plexiglass, implement social distancing, everything involved with the pandemic. We just had to implement policies to protect, our employees and our customers, along while selling good cookies.
I have to think that that level of adaptability can be somewhat attributed. Both of you played outdoor sports with soccer and football. Yeah. So some of that has to be, from an athlete mentality as well. But gosh, just what a crazy time to start a business. But I mean, it's taken off, obviously since y'all started. You've been featured in, I think, last December, featured in Oprah's Favorite Things.
Yeah.
Rachel Ray. Yeah. All kinds of stuff that's been going on. And then I saw a little more recently that y'all were chatting with Mark Cuban as a part of, what did I see? I think it was the NBA and Shark Tank did a championing Black businesses.
A ton of exposure, a lot of accolades. For something that she created, which is super cool.
Yeah, right.
It's something that I now understand how she felt while I was playing. Like, for me, it was just something that I did. I was like, this is cool, but I'm doing my job. I'm enjoying it, but I wasn't looking from her perspective. Now I'm kind of in the background on the sideline looking like, this is pretty cool.
I was so damn proud. Oh my goodness. Every game. I was like, yeah, that's mine. Go 7-1.
This is pretty cool watching something that she created, her recipes. So many people not only loving it, but giving her, the praise that she deserves. So especially Oprah, that was something I wrote that down. I was like, I want to be on Oprah's Favorite Things, or I want her to be on Oprah's Favorite Things. And it happened within we were open for 4 months.
I thought it was a prank. It happened so soon.
We were open for four months and we heard from Oprah. I was like, okay, this isn't real.
Yeah. Right. When often does that happen? But we were skilled in shipping already. We still don't know how she found us, but man, we made it through to the end and got through one of the craziest holiday seasons we will probably ever see. And once again, we had never been through a holiday season in store as well as online. We had done two holidays online.
Yeah,
but we never done it in store as well. And we went through a ridiculous amount of cookies. But now we feel equipped to do just about anything because of that. So thank you, Oprah.
Right. I'm sure. Yeah, that had to certainly ramp up sales at the time of year that it was too. But that's gosh, so crazy. And then, like I said, so Rachel Ray's magazine and kind of all these different, exposure pieces with what the NBA did with Shark Tank. What was that experience like? I mean, did they reach out to you? What was kind of was it a series?
They reached out to us. It was actually a third party that reached out to us called Joy Collective. They're basically find the people for ESPN and Disney. And they end up finding us. We were one of the finalists. And they liked what we were doing and we were selected. It was really cool because we actually got some really good advice from not just Mark Cuban. He gave us some solid advice, but it was a ton of executives from Disney, ESPN. We had constant Zoom meetings with people. They checked in weekly. They're still checking in. Yeah. We received a grant from Disney.
Yeah.
That really helped us in a time where part of being a business owner, we got 75,000 boxes that were misprinted. Which we couldn't really go after the company because we approved the guidelines and the proofs. Even though, we trusted someone that did the artwork to check it, and then they're supposed to check it too, a print, but it got lost and there was nothing we really could do about it.
Upside down.
So that was a year's worth of boxes that, were wasted for us. So, and it came at the right time. So thankful God is good. And just a ton of good things have been happening for us, and we're extremely thankful for it.
Gosh, upside down boxes. That's part of it though, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was so painful.
We've had a couple of other entrepreneurs on who started kind of from the ground up like this, and almost every single one of them has said that they used Google. That the common theme across the board has been like, I had no idea what I was doing, but if I had a question, I would look it up or I would ask somebody.
Yeah.
It's been a ton of Google,
YouTube University,
a ton of
also Google,
a ton of looking at Instagram stories, and then running into the right people at the right time that are within the industry that we're in, or not, just in business.
Yeah,
they've given us solid advice, and I would like to think that we're pretty smart too. We use our intuition at times, and it's been working.
Right. That helps. I saw, it's been probably a couple of weeks ago, but I think, I don't know if y'all delivered or had sent up to the Chiefs cookies to a certain amount. And there were, you know, a few of the guys are then tweeting out and, oh, thank you so much. We appreciated this event. And then I had seen the one from Patrick Mahomes that was like, what the heck? I got left out of this. Can I get some cookies?
Yeah, that was in a, see, with the little guys, like the skill positions, they count calories. You know, I sent it to the O-line. We don't care. Like, we don't count calories. We eat whatever we want. So I sent it to the O-line, and then I know Travis is, the tight ends are right next to the O-line in the locker room. So he saw the box and he ended up getting some. And then Pat, yeah, sorry, Pat, he's on the other side of the locker room. So
he missed out.
Right, right. He might be in the next wave of cookie delivery.
We'll get him some.
There you go. That is funny. So we've talked about kind of up to this point, you know, how you got started with everything. Obviously, the exposure that you've had from all these different, you know, pretty high profile. I mean, Oprah's like one of the highest profile people, I would say. But what is the plan for the future of the Cookie Society?
Oh, man. Got a lot in the works. Mm-hmm. So we've made some really strategic hires in the last few months. We have HR now. We have a sales team. We PR. Have PR now. Wow. And so
we have marketing.
We have marketing. We do actually.
Design.
Marketing team, designer.
This was all of us on like staff. 3 months ago.
Yeah. So these three people and we'll just get it done. But we've made all those hires so that we can actually grow more efficiently. So store number 2 is opening, still in the Dallas area. But actually in Dallas in January. And then we have plans for another store in 2022 and kind of building out our shipping efforts and just a lot of exciting stuff.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
A lot of still figuring things out, but having fun and adapting. Like this is just, that's this is what sports has taught us. I mean, it's awesome. I think without a doubt, having our athletic education, that was the foundation, that's, you got to have that. But being able to adapt was definitely taught in sports. I mean, you have to persevere. There's times where you don't want to do certain things. There's times where things don't quite go your way and you can't sit around and pout about it. You just have to control what you can and put your head down and work. And that's 100% being an entrepreneur. That's what it is. I mean, it's a direct correlation.
It's a game of resiliency for sure.
Yeah.
Especially right now we're looking at, you know, shortages and stuff. And so we just got our shipment and I'm looking at my like shipping manifest and 4 things are missing. And I was like, hold on, wait a minute. Where'd it go? And they're like, we don't have any. And I can't tell you when we're going to get any more. And so we really have to pop up and like figure something else out and keep it pushing.
Dealing with all of that and trying to, I guess, educate the customer. Like, hey, there's certain things that, you know, we can't get right now. There's shortages on just about everything in the world. And sometimes people don't understand that, which is tough.
That's his part.
Which is tough. It's like, okay, like, you know, I understand, you know, we're sorry that this is an inconvenience, but, you know, just understand that we want to sell you everything that we can.
Believe me.
But, you know, there's things that we just can't do right now because of, you know, what we're going through. Right, but right. I think it'll get better.
Good. Fingers crossed that it gets better and easier and
things work.
Right. Things show up when they're supposed to and all that good stuff. So obviously when you first got started, you were making these recipes by yourself. If you're opening an additional store, I have to assume that you've also hired some more bakers to help you with the task of cookie stuff. Okay.
So I learned early on, we've had some incredible people work for us. And everybody was kind of life. So we had some college kids that have gone back to school. We had some people that had gotten laid off during the pandemic. They had lost their jobs or furloughed and they came on and we got really good at teaching people how to make cookies. I always say I can teach anybody how to make cookies if you're kind of willing to learn. The part we can't teach is good communication and good like customer service skills. And that's something that I'm probably the most proud of is the team we've assembled and the service that they deliver every day. But everybody in there's a baker. I would say, can't you call everybody in there a baker?
Yeah, we got the process.
Everybody's
down.
Baker. Yeah.
You can come in, baby.
Make cookies. I still do all the recipe development though. And that's my favorite part. So I'd rather find other people to help lift us up and all those other things that I'm doing right now so that I can spend more time in the kitchen coming up with recipes. But November and December, I had a lot of time to work on. And I am so excited for November and December's menu. Lots of new stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, this has been so much fun to listen to. I mean, just the excitement in both of your voices in what you're talking about. It's palpable. But what I want to do now is kind of shift into the final phase of the show. So the namesake of the show, the Bloom Pod, partly came because of my experience as the Bloom and Onion mascot in the third quarter of the Outback Bowl a few years ago. And then, you know, partly because my last name is Onion and Bloom and, of course, all those great things. So what I want to ask, though, that is related to the namesake is, what is one experience or maybe even a series of experiences that y'all have had that you feel has helped you kind of bloom into the people that you are today?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. Okay. It's all kind of linked. I wouldn't say it was necessarily one exact moment. Do you have yours?
Yeah, I would just say my childhood, honestly.
Yeah.
Just where I grew up. I grew up in the South Side of Chicago. So it was just constantly, just like now, my entire life, I've had to adjust and adapt. There's always constant change. There's so many things that we all have to avoid in life to be able to accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish. And that started, you know, from the day I was born. So I think that was pretty cool. And then just having my mother stand on top of me and making sure I was doing what I need to do. And then, you know, meeting her, her being the same, her being so like, she perseveres like through anything, works so hard, and just drawing inspiration from people around me.
Mine would probably be motherhood, now that I think about it. Like having my daughter, the second one's a little different, but having my daughter was just such a shift. Like when I thought I was tired, I wasn't actually tired until you're tired with a child. And it really taught me more about like humility, and you lose a lot of control of things.
Mm.
Children, I can't control their actions. I can't control really any part of it, especially as they get older, because they're going to become their own people. And that has been the most humbling experience. But also doing that while running a business, it's like, okay, I got to prioritize my time differently. And that's probably created the largest shift in me in the last 10 years. Do you agree?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah.
Now we're full blooming onions.
We are. Yeah,
exactly. Full bloom.
Raise little people. It's like a different world. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay. So next piece is the best piece of advice that y'all have received, either collectively, separately, however you want to phrase it.
Oh, are we going to say the same one? Mm-hmm. I wonder. So mine is to take your time. It came from Mark. There were more words associated with it, but I've always believed like what's for me is for me, and it'll be there. And we felt a lot of pressure, especially as you mentioned, like some of the great fortune enough to be a part of Oprah's Favorite Things and Champion Black Businesses and stuff. And so you feel this pressure to go faster and go harder and try to keep up with some of the bigger companies, like dessert companies. But he said, like, take your time, like go your speed. And that has been the best advice I think I've ever received.
Yeah, I mean, that's good advice. I would say everything happens for a reason.
Mm,
honestly, everything thing. Like, and like everything happens in God's time. Like before we opened our store, our retail store in 2020, we were scheduled to open in February. And then things got delayed because of the architect. Then COVID started to show up, like prevalent in the U.S. And then the stay-at-home order got introduced. So it got delayed even more. So we ended up open right in the middle of it. But that was one of the, it was a really tough time because we had to adjust and adapt. But it pushed us. Pushed us to be a better business. I know it was a really bad time, but it made us, you know, really focus in, and everything good, bad, or indifferent has been for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Was there any point during the opening process where y'all were thinking, maybe we shouldn't do this, right? Like, maybe we should wait the few weeks or months, or which, thank goodness you didn't, because it's still happening.
We thought about not opening. We were like, okay, you know, we're not going to open. I'm like, we don't know what COVID is. We don't know how serious it is. It's just so early. But the more we looked at it, we saw, like she said, a lot of people that worked for us end up losing their primary jobs. Mm-hmm. And we were essential. So we were like, okay, we have the opportunity to open. Let's go ahead and open so they can at least have an opportunity to make some type of money. If it works for us, it works. If not, we gave it a shot. Like, okay, we don't know when this thing is going to go away. So yeah. We're like, let's just protect ourselves as much as we can and just go for it.
Yep, for sure. All right, last kind of segment here of the show is the quick peel, equivalent to a lightning round. So I've got four kind of quick answer this or that questions and then a fill in the blank. So the first one, obvious, I got to ask, favorite flavor of cookie?
It's actually changed to a flavor that I can't tell you about yet.
Ooh.
It'll be released on Monday.
Okay.
Banana pudding.
Banana pudding. Okay. Also good to know. All right. Favorite musician?
Ooh. Right now? Who's my favorite right now? I'm going to just go with Beyonce, like always.
Fair.
He's not, but.
I'm going to say Lauryn Hill.
Ooh, also
one album, but
right, Miseducation.
Yeah. It's still my one favorite album of all time.
Right.
After that, it's probably going to be unpopular. Kanye West. Yeah, College Dropout.
Right.
Classic album. He got me through high school and kind of college too.
It's a lightning round.
Okay, Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Ooh, in unison. Nice. And then the best show that you have binged lately?
We did finish Squid Games. We're up on pop culture.
We did finish Squid Games, but I would go with, what was that? Murderers in the Building?
Ooh, Only Murderers in the Building.
It's on really Hulu. Good. It's actually on Hulu.
One's on Hulu.
Okay. Yeah. I gotta check that out. I am avoiding Squid Games. I'm not into the, it just looks like too much for me, but
maybe. Lot.
Right.
It's a lot.
And they really get you halfway and you're like, I actually have to see how it ends. So even if I didn't want to keep going, I have to.
Right. I do feel a little left out because there's obviously a lot of, memes and stuff across social media right now, but I haven't brought myself to do it just yet. Haven't brought myself there just yet. Okay. Last one. Fill in the blank. Blooming is
necessary. You got to grow.
That was what I was going to say. We have to go different. Blooming is essential.
Blooming is essential.
My favorite word of 2020.
That is the word of 2020. Essential.
Yep. Just like the Cookie Society.
Yeah, yes. Essential.
Pretty much.
I love it. Well, thank y'all so much. I know we battled through some questionable Wi-Fi there for a minute, but I appreciate y'all coming on, talking about everything that you've been up to since graduation and what you've been doing with the Cookie Society. It's so fun to hear. So
and after an Illini win.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big win.
Big win.
9 OTs. Yes. So good to see you. Yep. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll catch y'all next time.
All see right. ya.
Bye.
Hello, my friend.
Well, good morning. How are you?
On top of the morning to you. I'm admiring. Now I'm admiring your mug. I wish I was using that same one. The Ron Alisa, if you will.
Ron Alisa. It's a nice Mona Lisa painting, but someone has photoshopped Ron Swanson or Nick Offerman's face onto hers. Mm-hmm. So it's a little pleasant surprise. You have to look closely, maybe do a double take, and then you're like, oh, what's going on with that mug?
I feel like we have spoken about it before on the show because one time I was using it, but I used to use it in the office. That was my office coffee mug. And now Garrett tries to steal it all the time because he loves Ron Swanson. I know.
Yeah. I like having funny office mugs. I think that's probably where the conversation went the last time we had it. But funny mugs are so great. You sit in a very, official business meeting and it really breaks the ice.
I think so too. It's just a good conversation starter, mm-hmm. good way to make friends in a new place.
Uh-huh. I also have the Lionel Richie one that says, hello, is it tea you're looking for?
That's a good one.
My friend, I almost used it. I thought it would be a good talking point, but then I saw this mug. And then soon we'll move on from mug talk. But my granddad made one of her face, and it's like super zoomed in, and she's making like a really creepy, like, I'm watching you face. So whenever guests come over, I like to give them that mug, and they're like, huh, what is this?
That's funny. I forgot to tell you.
I'll use it.
Speaking of Lionel Richie, I was somewhere with someone. I know that's a very vague description, but I can't remember the exact details, only the conversation.
Well.
I was somewhere with someone the other day, and that song came on, and they did not think Lionel Richie's Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For came on, and they didn't think that I would know who sang it. And so they were like, you know, oh, if you know the song, then go ahead and name the artist. And my brain, let me tell you about the adventure we went on, because I could see his face and his Jerry curl, but I could not for the life of me remember his name. So then the association that my brain did was Melissa often gets told that she looks like Nicole Richie Lionel. Lionel Richie.
I like that path.
Yeah, it was great. It helped a lot. Immediately it came to me.
I'm here for you.
Anyway, we are here today to talk about the Cookie Society.
The Cookie Society. You know, I didn't know that I've ever wanted to belong to a society more until listening to this interview. And then I thought, no, this here is a society I fit in with. These are my people.
Yes, I too would like to be a part of the Cookie Society. It also got me wondering if there are any other societies that we should consider starting.
Donuts.
Ooh, the Donut Society.
Yeah, we can't like copy them.
No.
But can we influence them to start serving donuts in their shop?
Maybe.
And then we'll eat them all the time?
I like that. That's a good idea.
I don't know how to make a good donut. I'm not going to pretend. But I do know how to eat a donut.
I know how to eat a donut too. You know, when you said that, I thought, should we start a donut food truck? But it would be difficult given our geographic locations.
Well, you would move here. And there's no further questions, arguments. So yeah, we should start one. I'll put the business plan together. You start working on how to get yourself out to Colorado permanently.
Okay, you heard it here first, Denver. We are coming to your city.
You're so easily manipulated. I'm sorry.
You're right. That didn't take much. That didn't take much at all. Again, I'm pleased
with the outcome.
Say it again.
I'm pleased with the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, again, so soon in the first, we've already had these segues. I'd like to first start off by saying, and I told you this yesterday when I sent you the recording, my Wi-Fi crashed. Yesterday I had meetings like in a specific block of time. The Wi-Fi went out at that exact time. So about 20 minutes before I got on with them. And you can hear a little bit of that because I pivoted by using my phone as a hotspot, which mostly worked and a little bit didn't.
I think the universe was telling you to take a break, Taylor.
Maybe, but I wanted to make sure that we got this interview and they're
I just meant like all the meetings and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Okay. Universe.
Loud and clear. I hear ya.
Right. If only it could have gone out after I spoke to them and the other stuff could have been canceled.
That's fair. The universe is tricky that way, though. The universe shut me away for 10 days in a hotel room.
True. Very true. The universe is tricky that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But with all that said, it was so awesome to connect with them again. Obviously it was virtual, but I haven't seen or spoken to either of them probably since graduation, you know, since being in Champaign in Illinois. And so it was super fun to catch up because I've been following from afar everything that they've, you know, been doing between Marissa's First in Full blogging, food ventures, and now the Cookie Society and all that great kind of stuff. So it was a blast.
So you know them from being athletes in Illinois, both of them?
Yes. So Marissa played soccer at Illinois, and Jeff obviously played football.
You don't say.
Wouldn't that be a surprise if he played something else and then went on to the NFL? I played
tennis in college, and then the recruits saw my skill set on the court.
Boy, that guy's got fast feet. We got to get him.
Ooh, that's quick feet.
And his, speaking though of his NFL career, one of the first notes that I had written down was his discussion and kind of his, the way that he summarized his experience in the NFL about you have to continue to make it because there's drafts every year and cuts every year and all this kind of stuff made me think of Barchi and our chat with her on just how different going from being a college student athlete to the pro space is. And you have to be able to essentially reinvent yourself from year to year to ensure that you still, you know, have a seat at the table.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy because like we're all humans. We all go through things emotionally. We have things going on in our lives outside of work. And like, I find myself, there'll be like chapters where I'm like, am I doing my best work now? Like, I feel distracted. I feel like I've done better. I've performed better. I need to kind of like re-put my head in the game and focus on bringing my best to the table. And like, as an athlete, you have to be so in tune with yourself and like catch that quickly and turn it around. Like, you don't really have the opportunity to just like slip into a chapter of like unfocusedness.
That's a new word we're using.
We're rolling with it. We're sticking with it. I'm going to take a quick sip of my coffee and then hope that actual real words start coming out of my mouth.
That just made me think of when we were in college, we had a teammate who, you know, Annie, who would catch herself aloud. So I can remember one practice specifically, but I mean in the spring, cause we were up at like 5 AM. So we had a right to be exhausted. And, as we were getting, it was a water break. So we're over by the coolers, whatever, kind of standing around waiting to go back out and start the next drill. And she's like, you know, kind of like standing on one hip, a little bit slouched over. And she's like, oh, I am so tired. And a half second later, she perks up and he's like, no, I'm not. Just it's like trying to convince her brain, like, no, I'm not tired. I'm changing how I feel.
Yeah. I'm going to convince myself.
Right. It's like the essence of Annie to be like, oh, I am so tired. No, I'm not.
I usually convince myself that I'm feeling differently in the form of a song. So like if I'm at work, I'm like, you're doing great. You're focused and you're having a good day.
I think that maybe should be the new theme song for the show.
It's not super fitting, but
right. I liked it a lot.
Thank you. I find that when you sing something, even if it's like, I don't want to be doing this task anymore,
it makes it fun.
It makes it more fun. And then you're like, I can do it. It's fine.
Turns out I can do this task anymore.
Yeah. And then you can sing a song about that too. Mm-hmm. It helps me. I think it annoys everyone around me, but they can sing a song about it themselves.
And speaking of differing perspectives, wait till you hear this segue. Wow. I thought it was really...
That was a reach.
Not when you hear what I'm about to say.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Speaking of differing perspectives, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, Jeff kind of talked about the grind of football and reinventing yourself and all these different things. And Marissa was like, I was pretty much worried about his health and safety the whole time. Yeah. That's like not something that he mentioned at all. So it's funny.
I think I've talked about her on here before, but I have a friend, Rachel, and her husband works for the Broncos. So he's a coach. And so I get the perspective of like, you know, what it's like to be a coach's wife, the long hours. Like, I can only imagine that is exponentially more stressful too for a player's wife that's on the field and getting hit and beat up. And man, they put in so much work at the pro level to, you know, compete and, like we said, like stay on top of the game and excel in their job. It's got to be stressful for the wives when they're like, I hope they come home in one piece today.
Right. In one piece today. And I mean, in recent years, we've seen so much about CTE and some of the kind of mental health issues that have resulted, you know, have happened as a result of that. So it's not even just while you're doing, it's like, you know, can continue to affect you down the road, which is really scary. It's quite the commitment.
Yeah. Was that on here that we were talking? Nope. It was a personal conversation. But someone was telling me that like kids who grow up playing football could get like, I don't know, tens to like 100 concussions and like not 100, maybe 100, a lot. And just because they're so resilient, you don't know it, but that has like long-term effects on them. And they're just like, you know, we're like, oh, they're fine. They'll get back up and be okay. But,
mm-hmm. And I was just talking about that concussions the other day with a few guys who played in college. And I'm like, did y'all have concussions? And they were like, kind of laughed like, oh, I'm sure I did. But you know, they were never necessarily diagnosed. Like I have no idea how many concussions I had, but I know I had some. Like,
yeah,
that is bananas.
And that's just a thing that we're all on the sidelines, like, yeah, like,
right.
Like going crazy over. Like,
right.
It's such a weird concept.
It really is. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was interesting about kind of Marissa's perception of, which I think Jeff actually said this part, but when they were talking about draft night and she's like, you know, I can remember being there and he gets selected by the Chiefs. She's like, and I instantly look up Kansas City to find out that, of course, Kansas City Chiefs are actually in Kansas City, Missouri, and not Kansas City, Kansas. And he said something about, you know, I don't really know anything about Kansas. Like, it's going to be in the middle of the country. Like, I'm thinking yellow brick roads, like Wizard of Oz. It's pretty funny.
I've heard, you know, I've never been to Kansas City. I've heard it's like a really cute, fun, like foodie town with a lot more going on than it really gets credit for.
Yeah, I've also never been there. And I've also heard that it is wonderful. It is the headquarters location of Women Leaders in College Sports and just recently announced the NWSL, which would be the, I think it was the NWSL. I'm going to quiz you. Do you even know what that means?
National Women's Soccer League.
Wow. Very good.
I did it.
You did it. anyway, I think it was Kansas City and the NWSL who just recently announced that they are building a new stadium, which will be located on the Missouri River. And I'm looking for the information now. Yes. KC, NWSL, and Port KC. Don't know what that is. But anyway, they're going to build the first NWSL purpose-built stadium at Kansas City Riverfront. So I assume that is the first stadium built intentionally for the NWSL, which is really, really cool.
Is that what purpose built means?
Built with purpose.
Built with purpose.
As most buildings are, but I assume that means that the NWSL has never had a team that's built a stadium specifically for them, that they might play in other people's stadiums.
That's cool.
It is cool. It's supposed to be like 11,000 seats. And I mean, I'm just looking at the mock-ups right now, obviously, but pretty neat. We should, maybe we should go.
I was just going to say, you know what else Kansas City is home to? The National Cookie Society. Nope. The Cookie Society.
It's actually not.
Oh, can you cut that?
They're in Texas.
I thought they were opening their second store in Dallas, but that their first one was in
Frisco.
I know nothing. Okay. Cut all of this.
Yes.
okay. Then let's find a new segue. Okay. I've got it. Here we go. Would love to visit Kansas City with you. There's another stop I need to make. Would you be up for a road trip through Texas to the Cookie Society?
I'm always down for a road trip that involves cookies. I think you know that about me by now.
Well, and you know what? In hindsight,
maybe a road trip is not the best idea since you're in Florida and I'm in Colorado. And maybe we just meet there and yes. eat some delicious cookies and let's go on the third. Is it the third Sunday of the month when they have cinnamon rolls? Just have a ball, a sugar-filled ball.
Now you're on to something.
Okay. So this weekend?
Is it the third Sunday?
Oh, that would be serendipitous, would it not?
I think it's not, technically.
Oh, yeah, it's the 27th. There's no way that that...
Yeah, as we're recording this.
Oh, yes. I forget about that time gap.
Right. It might be by the time the episode is published.
While you're listening to this, we might be mowing down some cookies right now.
Mowing down?
Mowing?
Mowing down. Look at you making up new words today.
I feel like I've heard someone say that recently and it's stuck in my brain because I was like, never heard that before. And then I just regurgitated it. Like,
I think you just
thinking about it.
I think you and maybe they also just combined mowing down and chowing down. Mowing
down.
Yeah.
I think that could be it.
Yep.
But I'm gonna continue to say it confidently and see how many other people I can influence to say mowing down.
I support that.
Thank you. I appreciate your support.
What other notes do you have?
Just mostly that I really like them as humans and they're just fun and seem like good people with bubbly, nice personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see how different people will like take what they've learned in one completely different industry, like, you know, teaching yourself perseverance, doing whatever it takes to make it work, and then translating those skills to opening, you know, a cookie shop in the middle of a pandemic and thinking outside of the box and coming up with solutions that like, this is not ideal that the timing of this, but we're doing it and we're going to have curbside pickup and online ordering and all that stuff that like no one else around us is really doing. We're going to get that up and going fast and we're going to make this work and it's going to be a success.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think it's like I don't know. I said that during the interview that their excitement and just like energy was palpable throughout the whole entire thing. Right. And that, you know, you couldn't see them A, because you weren't on the interview and B, because this is a podcast and not a TV show. But there was a lot of kind of like, you know, like Marissa would say something or Jeff would say something and they kind of nudge the other like, oh, I'm surprised you didn't think of that. Or, oh, you know, I told her she could never make a cookie like this. And, you know, she went back and did it. So it just was fun to interact and catch up, honestly.
Yeah. They seem like a really cute couple, like very adoring and right. loving, which is so nice. It like comes through and even just the audio without having the video to accompany it. And I love that story of them being in New York and him like knowing how to push her buttons just a little bit in a way that she's like, no, I'm going to make a cookie that's this good. Like, he's like, I don't think you can. Like, this is a really good cookie. And now right. Oprah's favorite things, they're getting like really prominent features and good media. So she did it. She's killing it.
They've had so much exposure, which we talked about throughout. I mean, Rachel Ray and Mark Cuban and all these other things. They've done a lot of local stuff too. So obviously in Texas and then, you know, from Jeff's former teammates, just people posting stuff. But I like can't get over the fact that they were featured on Oprah's Favorite Things. Like, so cool.
Yeah, that's how you know you made it. If you're right? Oprah's favorite, what the heck?
Do you know what I think this means? Huge.
What?
Because I'm always, you know how much I love to network. And I'm always thinking about what
you have Oprah on the show.
That's not where I was going. That's not where I was going, but what a great idea. What is it? Kevin Bacon's 6 degrees of separation. Like now we are only one person removed from knowing Oprah.
Well, I'm two, but you're one.
Henceforth, thusly. We could have her on the show.
Yes. Let's,
or something.
Yeah, or something. Let's not have our listeners hold their breath. But that'd be freaking cool.
That'd be super freaking cool.
I might, don't allow me to interact with Oprah, please. I panic.
You know what I read yesterday? I can't even remember where I read this, but it said something to the effect of like men, their cognitive ability can be impaired if they're talking to someone that they find really attractive. I can't remember where the heck I read that. I'm gonna have to go back and fact check it. But what you just described made me think of that. Like, don't let me talk to Oprah. I won't be able to put a sentence together.
I'll embarrass myself. We all know I have that, but with famous people. And it's not because I make myself nervous because I feel like I know so much about them from what I've seen in the media, and that feels really invasive. Mm. And so I don't know what to talk to them about. So in my brain, I'm always do I pretend I don't know anything about them? And I'm like, hi, I'm Melissa. Who are you? What's your day job? and that's worse, because they're like, we see right through this. You know who I am.
Right.
But then I'm like, but I also know you went through a really rough breakup last month. How are you doing? How are you healing?
Right.
This feels like everything I know is, I haven't gotten that straight from them. So it feels invasive to have that knowledge. And then I panic and I don't know what to talk about. And I get really awkward.
This is making me think about when I met, I think I stayed with you this night in Chicago, when I went to Sam Hunt and I won a meet and greet on the way up there. And I was so excited because at that, and I still like Sam Hunt, but at the time I was riding a Sam Hunt wave. He was not super well known yet. And I felt like I was on the, on the forefront of the Sam Hunt discovery. Anyway, I won the meet and greet. And then this is going to sound creepy, but I mean, he's very attractive. And also he smelled so good that my brain literally didn't work. I just was and whoever I was with, was like, oh, it's so great to meet you. We love your music. We've seen you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nice meet. Right. And then another time we had gone to see Frankie Ballard, who's another country musician. In Champaign, actually. And the first thing that I did when I met him was ask him about his experience with Kathy Lee and Hoda on the Today Show, where I had seen him recently. And everybody, I think I was with Aaron and Barchi in Sydney for that show. And they were like, why are you asking him that?
Well, you know my story about the meet and greet with Philip Phillips, right?
Wasn't I there for that, or was that a different time?
No. That was with my roommate in Chicago, Sarah. She had won the meet and greet.
Mm.
And this was the first telltale sign that I'm not to interact with famous people because I just don't know how to behave. But we met, and it was right after you and I and Aaron and Suze, I believe, had just gone to see him. I forget what campus we were at, but want to meet and greet with him 2 months later. He was opening for John Mayer, and he was like, nice to meet you, I hope you enjoy the show. And I was like, oh yeah, I know I'm gonna enjoy it. We saw you just a couple months ago, the show was amazing. And I was like, we were gonna go out and have a drink after, but we decided to go home, and I heard you went to the place we were gonna go and bought a round for the bar. And his girlfriend, I believe now wife, was standing next to us, and I saw her head perk up a little bit. And in my head, I was like, I'm getting him in trouble. I've done something wrong. And he was like, did I? And that sent me spiraling in my brain. And I was like, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. It could have just been hot gossip. Can you believe the word you hear on the street anyways? Who knows what happened? And my friend grabbed me by the collar of my shirt and just pulled me away. And I was like, okay, bye.
That is classic Melis.
So now we know. Sometimes, right. I curtsy, sometimes,
You do curtsy a lot.
And that proves that theory that when you're talking to someone attractive.
True. That it's not it's not just a thing that happens to men. Apparently it also happens to women.
It happens to me when an attractive man says hello and I grab his hand to shake it and instead curtsy and go, John! And then panic and say, I immediately regret that. I'm so sorry. Hello, my name is Melissa.
Ah, you are one of a kind, my friend. Truly, truly one of a kind. I'm going to take this opportunity to pivot us just
back.
Slightly.
Let's go back. Let's stop. Stop me from keeping traveling down this path of embarrassing stories. I'm just offering up freely.
I have two more notes. One of them is that when they were talking about trying, I think she said they tried thousands of cookie recipes to try and like get to the perfect spot of the chocolate chip. And then they moved into the banana pudding and whatever else. But when they were talking about that process, it of course reminded me of the Friends episode where they are trying to, Monica is trying to replicate Phoebe's grandmother's, her dead grandmother's cookie recipe for chocolate chip cookies. And of course, you know, as the story goes, finally, I think she gets a bag of chocolate chips and she's like, ah, this is it. This is it. The recipe. Nesle Toulouse. Monica is like, your grandmother used Nestle Toulouse. And Phoebe says, you Americans always butcher the French language. Which, and then she realizes that her grandmother had duped her all these years and just been using the Nestle Toulouse chocolate chip cookies.
Classic Friends. Love that. Monica had baked like 17 different batches of cookies. She's like, now this one has a pinch of nutmeg.
Too funny. Good. Okay. And then my last note, and we can get on our merry way here. My last note is the change up in fill in the blank at the very end of the quick peel round.
Yeah, you changed it. I noticed.
Yeah, I thought it was time.
Yeah, because people are prepared now, right? If they've listened to this, they're like, okay, I know what I'm going to be asked. And now we're going to throw them for a loop.
Right. Maybe we change it from season to season, I'm thinking. Anyway, I appreciated their... They pretty much did say the same thing. I think that it was, what, necessary and essential, which I liked.
Essential.
Yep.
Yeah. If you want to grow.
True. Which we should... do inevitably.
I think we always stay the same.
Are we doing this again? More bridesmaids humor?
I can't help myself, Taylor.
Okay, buddy. That's all I had. Did you have anything else?
No, just that we need to go and eat a bunch of cookies.
Yes. All the cookies.
Wait, she said they ship, right?
Yeah, they do. That's how they got started. Nationwide, I believe.
You know, this is a missed opportunity for us to have had cookies delivered and give a review live on the podcast.
One last thing, not cookie related, but did you see the email that we got last night?
I sure did. That Kath,
yep.
Your mother, good feedback.
The first feedback of the season from a one Mrs. Kathy Onion.
Mm-hmm.
And the subject line, which is actually incorrect because this was episode 32, but she said, number 31, woohoo, Daniel Fitzpatrick. Boy.
Good lady. She needs like a little, how do we show her our appreciation for being perhaps our number one fan?
I think we just keep mentioning her in the recaps.
Kath Onion, you are top notch.
You know what else I wanted to say specific from this email? Is one of the notes at the, one of the PPSs at the end was that she was cracking up at your, can you please let the slap chop go?
<That's my feelings>.
And then she said, PPS, one thing I always associate with Melissa's identity is her mission work.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks. I guess I should also note that at the time we're recording this, episode 33 has not yet come out, which is why here now in episode 34, we are talking about episode 32.
Yes.
Anywho. I'm
amazed by that. So I'm assuming our listeners got confused by that.
When you listen to this on the day it is released, it will make more sense to you.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully it already makes sense to our listeners.
Fair enough. It's early. My brain, you know.
All right. Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it. And that's the way the onion peels.
We'll see you next week. We are thrilled. I also should have mentioned, this is the last of our entrepreneur block. Next week, we are switching into higher education block of three fabulous guests, all of whom we are very excited to have. Can't wait for you to get to hear their insights and their knowledge and all the wonderful things that they have to share with us. We'll see you next week.